This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm News Time on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman. We'll have an update with Tyler Donaldson as well. Today starts with lows in the 20s under mostly cloudy skies, afternoon highs climbing to the upper 20s to low 30s. It's about 10 degrees above the average. Tomorrow morning, lows will dip into the teens, highs reaching the upper 20s to low 30s with mostly cloudy skies. There's a chance of snow or flurries that will linger near the North Dakota-South Dakota border late tomorrow into early Thursday. Thursday warms up with highs in the mid-30s to low 40s, partly sunny skies. Friday morning, lows hovering around 20 degrees, afternoon highs pushing close to 40 with a mix of sun and clouds. USDA officials say they remain on schedule for the late February rollout of the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program, with the payments expected to begin flowing on time. The agency also introducing new digital tools aimed at making the application process easier for producers. Under the rollout plan, the program will be administered through login.gov, allowing farmers to access, review, and sign required forms online. USDA leaders are encouraging producers to set up accounts in advance to avoid delays. Officials say the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program will also serve as a test case for expanding the use of digital platforms in future farm programs.
USDA monthly supply and demand report releases later today. AgMarket.net's partner Jacob Burke says the February WASDE historically isn't much of a market mover.
Typically see, you know, not a lot of action in this report. But coming off such a big move in January report, you always wonder, like, there can be some changes that we see, maybe some fine-tuning of some of the demand numbers, stuff like that you might see. But oftentimes we see the February report being a pretty non-eventful one.
The expectations for the report are modest adjustments, lower for corn and soybean ending stocks.
Oil prices moving higher yesterday after the U.S. Department of Transportation warned American ships to avoid Iranian waters while traveling through the Strait of Hormuz and the Gulf of Oman, renewing concerns about supply disruption tied to Middle East tensions. Brent crude rose 1.3% to $68.94 per barrel, while West Texas Intermediate climbed 1.3% to $64.38. About 20% of the world's oil moves through the strait, making it one of the most critical energy corridors in the world. The narrow waterway is also vital for global fertilizer trade, carrying large volumes of urea, phosphates, and sulfur. Nearly half of the global urea exports from the Middle East pass through that strait, along with major shares of ammonia and other nutrients. Any disruption could sharply raise global input costs.
As the Red River Farm Network first reported, Amarillo, North Dakota farmer Jared Haggart is in line to be the next deputy administrator for farm programs at the Farm Service Agency. USDA has not made the official announcement, but Haggart is already in Washington, D.C., being briefed about the new job. Haggart has already resigned from the North Dakota legislature. In addition to his farm, Haggart operates an ag retail business and is past chair of the United Soybean Board.
Minnesota officials are announcing new state-specific restrictions on the 3-dicamba herbicide products for the 2026 growing season. Under the new rules, application south of Interstate 94 must stop after June 12th, while the use north of I-94 is prohibited after June 30th. Statewide, dicamba cannot be applied when temps exceed 85 degrees or when forecasts predict highs above that level. Federal label requirements also remain in place, including mandatory training, added record keeping, use of approved drift and volatility reducing agents, and expanded buffer zones in sensitive areas.
South Dakota Governor Larry Rodine has vetoed legislation that would have classified cell-cultivated proteins as adulterated food. The South Dakota Cattlemen's Association is praising the governor's decision, describing the bill as government overreach. The Cattlemen's Group said the fake meat products are not competition for real beef, and consumers don't need the government to tell them that. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins is celebrating the completion of a new sterile fly dispersal facility in South Texas, a major step in protecting livestock and agriculture from New World screwworm. The facility expands USDA's ability to release sterile flies along the southern border and inside the United States to stop this pest before it spreads.
And I remember hearing first that this new facility, I was in a meeting at Texas A&M last spring, and they said, we really need a facility in Texas. And I said, well, how much is that going to cost? And they said, well, probably about $250 million. I said, oof, that's going to be a tough sell, but I'm going to go sell it. Well, soon that $250 million moved to $750 million. But again, this administration and this president are wholly focused and prioritizing how important this issue is. That facility, the big facility, will be open. We're already ahead of schedule by the end of next year.
Rollins says that new dispersal site strengthens USDA ability to release sterile flies in northern Mexico and southern Texas, helping prevent the screwworm from reaching U.S. ranches.
That there is no New World screwworm currently in our country. As part of our effort to keep this pest out of our nation and far from our ranches, we maintain a large network of validated traps along our border, ensuring we will find and quickly eradicate if it does come north. Every day we are finding plenty of other kinds of flies. So far we have trapped and tested 42,000 flies just here in Texas alone since June of last year. But none of them have tested to be the New World screwworm.
USDA officials say that new Texas facility was completed ahead of schedule and under budget. The department will continue monitoring along the border and working with state and international partners to keep New World screwworm out of the United States.
Brazil is reviewing last week's U.S.-Argentina trade agreement, citing concerns it may exceed Mercosur's limit on bilateral deals. Officials say that pact appears to cover more products than Argentina's allowed exceptions under rules. The review is focusing on tariff reductions and other trade requirements, including rules of origin and technical standards. Mercosur has faced repeated tensions as members pursue independent trade deals, and any formal response will be decided at the bloc's council with the next summit scheduled for late June in Paraguay.
According to Politico, President Trump and Chinese President Xi will meet in the first week of April. After the two world leaders spoke by phone last week, Trump said China would increase its purchases of U.S. soybeans. That seemed to be confirmed with yesterday's flash sale of 264,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans to China.
The number two person in the Justice Department's antitrust division is returning to private practice. Mark Hammer said 2025 was the high watermark for civil antitrust enforcement, with the largest docket of civil antitrust litigation matters in DOJ's history. Agriculture and the food sector have been a major part of the action. Meatpacking has been one of the most visible business segments, with allegations of price fixing and collusion. Seed, crop protection, fertilizer, and farm equipment sectors have all also been in the Justice Department crosshairs.
White mold pressure was commonplace this past year. Those fungal spores will remain in the soil for up to 10 years. Channel technical agronomist Lindsay Novak, who's based in Bismarck, advises farmers to have a fungicide plan in place now. Tools are available to weigh that fungicide investment.
NDSU extension is great, or rather all extension places have really good calculators to help you walk through different scenarios economically. And then I also know specifically NDSU extension has a disease forecasting tool that can help you in real time make those decisions on application. And then, of course, that it figures in your investments on that.
Fungicide seen as a part of a broader planned disease management strategy.
There's so many other decisions you can be making right now. For example, choosing hybrids and varieties with a stronger disease tolerance can definitely cut down on how much spraying you'll need. And those ratings and information, of course, will be available in your seed guide. But also, you know, a person like myself, the agronomist, or even the salesperson, we can help you guide through those ratings. You can think about, especially with soybeans and white mold, perhaps adjusting your planting population and adjusting your row spacing to help mitigate some of those diseases.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Students and young farmers have an opportunity to get a glimpse behind the curtain of how cooperatives function with the College Conference on Cooperatives event this week in Minneapolis. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson reports.
National Farmers Union is hosting a premier cooperative education event in Minneapolis this week. Director of Education Lisa Buckner talks about the College Conference of Cooperatives and how it's benefiting students and young farmers.
It's really to educate them about the cooperative business model. So we start off pretty broadly with, usually we do like a co-ops 101 session, teaching them about the cooperative principles, the basics of co-op business economics, and how they differ from, you know, an investor-owned business or a typical business structure. And then the second day, we do a full day of co-op tours around the Twin Cities. And then on the last day, we usually do some sort of co-op simulation. So they're challenged to design a co-op. So it's a whirlwind of a conference, but I think it introduces people pretty quickly to the world of co-op.
Buckner says with the event just being a couple days away that classes are already full, but more information can be found online as well as registration for next year's conference.
People can read more about it at nfu.org/ccoc. That's where the full schedule is. It is coming up in a few days, so registration will probably be closed for this year, but folks can always reach out to me directly to learn more about our co-op education, National Farmers Union, and get in touch about next year.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
World Weather Incorporated reports that moisture across Argentina remains highly variable, with northern, eastern, and southern regions experiencing significant dryness. This week, scattered showers and disturbances are expected, bringing 3/4 of an inch to 3 inches of rain to much of the main production areas, with isolated pockets receiving more. While rainfall will help improve short-term conditions for the coarse grains, oilseeds, and cotton, it won't fully fix the moisture deficit, and uneven development may limit yields in some of those driest locations.
U.S. and Bangladesh signing a reciprocal trade agreement. U.S. Wheat Associates said this is a win for American wheat farmers. U.S. Wheat signing a memorandum of understanding last summer with Bangladesh, committing to annual purchases of 700,000 metric tons of U.S. wheat for 5 years. The South Asian country is now the 8th largest buyer for U.S. wheat.
Checking markets this morning, Minneapolis wheat's down a penny for the May contract, 580 and a quarter. Chicago wheat for May, a quarter penny higher. KC wheat, March, 1 3/4 higher. March corn, 1 1/4 higher, 430 is the quote. March soybeans, 1114, that's up by 3 1/4 cents. Again, we have a supply-demand report out from USDA today. The Farm Calendar, Minnesota Pork Congress, kicking off at 9 o'clock this morning, and the show, of course, continues through tomorrow, the largest swine-focused trade show and educational event in Minnesota. The sugar beet grower meeting's going on. There's a session going on today, 8:30 start in Grafton. And this is the week for the Little Eye. They've got activities all week, but Friday is the banquet, and on Saturday they'll have the livestock shows themselves, the 100th edition of the Little International. Have yourself a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.